Stephanie and Stuart. And Rosa and Chris are here this morning. I think we've got a picture, have we, Chris, of Steph and Stuart? Heading back down the aisle with joy and gladness there. It was great. Stephanie and Stuart Balmer and their wedding on Thursday. If you missed out and you want to watch that, that wedding's on YouTube. You can probably skip the first half hour of the video. Do join in their joy and watch that. We continue to pray and think of them, and Heather will later. And do remember our Exodus teams as well, who are away at the moment. They spent the last 3 days in the Exodus Center in Coleraine doing some training and having some fun together, and they headed yesterday to Shankill Community Christian Fellowship, and they'll be there with them worshiping this morning and serving there with children and young people during the week. So keep praying for them, and again, Heather will pray later for these things. We're going to think about Psalm 108 this morning, and I want to begin with the first 5 verses. Let's hear these words and then pray together as we come to worship. My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and make music with all my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be over all the earth. Let's pray. Almighty God, you are worthy of our praise. The Lord of all creation, whose glory will fill the earth. Your love is so great, your faithfulness to us so true. We come to praise you. We are here, or we gather where we are, joining in worship because we make this choice this morning to set all other things aside, Lord, and reset our focus on you. Lord God, we haven't always made this choice well. We confess there have been many times our thoughts and actions have run away with us and run away from you. There's been times we've determined not to bother with you and your ways. We confess the mess of our lives that ignore you. But we come because we know we need you. We know that there is no one better or greater to come to. You have the words of eternal life. You, Lord Jesus, are the Redeemer of our lives. And so in these moments, we steady our hearts. We choose, by the power of your Spirit among us, to praise you. May we delight in you and bring you glory as we do so this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are going to praise God together. We're going to stand if you feel comfortable standing, or remain seated if you prefer, and sing together, indescribable, and O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let's praise God together. over these summer mornings, we're simply going to be spending our time in our services with a few of the Psalms. I like a title for a series. We're going to call it Songs in the Key of Life. Perhaps you remember, some of you remember, that's a Stevie Wonder album from the 1970s, Songs in the Key of Life. Makes a great title for the Psalms, though, because it provokes the idea of songs that are written from experience of life and that speak into our life situations. Psalms are written from human experience, very much so. But they so powerfully and meaningfully as the words of God, as words about the truth and that point to the truth and the wonder of Jesus and life in him, they so powerfully and wonderfully speak to our lives. And we pray and trust that we'll hear these and rejoice in these songs in the key of life over these summer months. So, with that in mind, Alison is going to come and read to us Psalm 108. Thanks, Alison.
Psalm 108. My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and make music with all my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awake in the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be over all the earth. Save us and help us with your right hand, that those you love may be delivered. God has spoken from his sanctuary. In triumph I will parcel out Shechem and measure off the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim is my helmet, Judah, my scepter. Moab is my washbasin. Upon Edom, I toss my sandal. Over Philistia, I shout in triumph. Who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? Is it not you, O God, you who have rejected us and no longer go out with our armies? Give us aid against the enemy, for the help of man is worthless. With God we shall gain the victory, and he will trample down our enemies. Amen.
Thanks very much, Alison. Let's just pause and pray for a moment. Father God, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for the Psalms, rich songs in the key of life. Lord, help us in these moments as we ponder on these words, your words, to hear how they speak to us, to hear how they remind us of truth and hope in our situations. Lord, may our ears and our hearts and our minds be open to hearing from you. And may we be comforted, struck, blessed by what you have to say to us by your Spirit as you point us again to Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. So I was reading about Psalm 108, and an old preacher gave it this title. He called it the Warrior's Morning Song. The Warrior's Morning Song. And I suppose on first reflection, when you think about that title for a psalm, it sounds really kind of awesome and manly, doesn't it? Grr. I can't really do that, so you just have to imagine that. There's great King David, writing this psalm, the great warrior king, defeater of Goliath, victorious leader of the people of Israel, and he's gloriously alive at dawn. He's heading that day into another momentous battle against one of those enemies of God's people. It could have been Moab, could have been the Philistines, but today it seems to be the Edomites. The warrior's morning song might suggest he is so up for this battle. A bit like Mel Gibson there in Braveheart. Freedom! Because, I mean, don't you feel like that when you get up in the morning? I'm not actually sure David did either that morning. But I think this is where we might get into the real depth of this title, The Warrior's Morning Song. See, I think how David actually felt first thing that morning is seen in verses 10 and 11 and 12. There's David, and he's got questions looming. He's got questions looming about his leadership. Who will lead me? Who will bring me? He's got questions looming about the fact that where he's heading to is a fortified city. He's got questions about the sense he has that God isn't at all present with him and his people in this. And about the weakness of the human resources he has at his disposal. And when he talks about awaiting the dawn in verse 2, that presumes, doesn't it, that he's already conscious and thinking about stuff before the sun has even risen. Now that sounds a bit more familiar, doesn't it? You or I may not feel much like a glorious warrior king, a brave heart, but we do know what it is to turn over in our minds the battles that we're expecting to face that day or the coming days. We know what it is to be awake in those early pre-dawn hours, vexed by questions and fears that keep us from sleeping. To feel overwhelmed, under strength, uncertain about, or unaware of sensing God in any of what we might face. David's in that same place as a warrior. And this morning. But the beauty of this song is what he does about it. So what David does is he resets his focus on who God is and what God has said and done. David, it seems, determines to focus his mind and his heart on God. And in the midst of these worries and these concerns he has and this sleeplessness, he determines to return to God and praise him, to do the very simple thing he was made to do. So give me my harp, says David, give me my lyre, give me my guitar. And whatever else is going on, I'm going to bring in the day praising God. You can see how this begins in the opening verses. My heart, O God, is steadfast, says David. Now, I'm not sure that's David claiming to have a particularly faithful or peaceful heart, so much as saying, okay, God, I'm determining to fix my heart on you. Because see how it goes from here in the next three verses. I will sing, I will awaken, I will praise you, I will sing. Words of determined choice. Now there are worries and there are lists of things to do and there are mental boxes of issues ready to pop open. But in this, David says, I'm going to start by focusing, by singing. And actually note this, really note this, is not saying I'm going to try and think about this, you know, within my mind. He's actually getting on with a deliberate action. He's actually singing, or he's writing his song, or he's saying words, or he's listening to words. He's deliberately doing something to feed his mind and heart with God's great love and about God's great unending faithfulness and about how good God is as the Lord of the heavens and earth and how God's glory will fill the nations. And he lets that praise carry on in the following verses into recalling what God can do because of what God has said and done. So his song becomes filled with reminders of God's words. So as we keep going, we see this is a song about a God who delivers and saves those he loves. A God who loves his people, who is for them, David reminds himself, who acts and wants to act powerfully for them. David's read it, he's seen it time and again. God's not absent, but he's about his work among his people. It's a song where David reminds himself this is a God who blesses his people and claims them as his own. People who God has claimed. David remembers how God has given them land and all his goodness to share and enjoy. How God treasures them and has claimed them securely as his people. So Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine. Though those are places of God's people, and this is God saying, these are mine, these are my people. David remembers how God uses and works through them to establish his kingdom, even when they might feel useless. So Ephraim, this people of God, that's my helmet in battle. I'm going to use them, says God. Judah is the scepter of my kingdom. I claim and use my people, says the Lord. David reminds himself of this. And then David is reminded that God claims total victory over his enemies. So verse 9 is funny. It's really expressive, isn't it? Moab is my wash basin. What a phrase that is. What does that mean? Well, it's God saying, listen, you're worried about the Moabites, David? Like, Moab to me is the servant who washes the sand off my feet. It's nothing. You're concerned about the Edomites, David? Those troublesome neighbors, I see them no more trouble than the kind of rug where I kick off my shoes. The Philistines are after you, David. I stand over Philistia and I say, I've won. These places, my enemies, the enemies of my people, and what I'm about, says God, are nothing. They're all at my feet. My victory over my enemies is total and assured. So through this, David is reminding himself of these truths of God. And we can't help seeing, can we, the greater fulfillment that we know in Jesus Christ, David's greater son. So as we think about these things that David thinks about, we recall how the great Lord and God over the nations, over heavens and earth, came in love and faithfulness to be our warrior king, to deliver and save those he loves, to claim and secure his people as his own, to go into battle for us on the cross and win a resounding victory over the greatest enemies of God, Satan, sin, evil, and death. And how, as Paul says in Ephesians, Jesus now sits at God's right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that can be invoked, not only in this age but the age to come, God having placed all things under his feet. Jesus has the victory, and we will reign with him. So in the vexed hours of the morning, feeling that there may be trouble ahead, and there's another song, David shows us what it is to reset our focus on who God is and what he's said and done, ultimately in Jesus. Let me highlight two things that David has particularly modeled for us here. The first is this, that he's made a determined choice to begin with what he knows over what he feels. Rather than regurgitate his worries, he's feeding his heart and mind with important and relevant truths from God. Listen, how we feel about the day or the days ahead is important, isn't it? But it's shaped by what we know. And especially in the middle of the night, or facing the pressure of a morning, we are not natural at being rational or having good recall, are we? So David makes a determined choice and action to do this with singing, with writing, with reading, with listening. And maybe he didn't feel like it. Often we don't feel like it, and our mood doesn't seem right to do it, does it? We don't feel like praising God. But David knew, at least in feeling the way he did, that there were truths he just needed to take time to be reminded of, to express, to be shaped by. He didn't want to let his feelings about the day simply dictate his praise of God, but his praise of God to dictate his feelings. Now, as we wake up in the morning, or as we lie awake in the early hours, we feel all sorts of things, and we fear all sorts of things, don't we? But here we're being presented with a good choice to make, to choose to praise God, to give ourselves to focusing on God as the day begins. But what if we struggle to find the words or how we'd go about that? Well, here's the second thing we might see modeled by David. And that is reusing good words that have been used before. Here's another fascinating thing about this psalm. It's not original. So verses 1 to 5 are almost an exact copy of some verses from Psalm 57. And verses 6 to 13, a copy of some verses from Psalm 60. Now, I think David probably owned the copyright to both of those as well, so it's all right. But we might wonder, why is there repetition in the Bible? It's okay, the Holy Spirit isn't just filling in some blank pages. We're being shown that it's okay, in fact, it's beneficial, it's good, it's helpful to take words from before and use them afresh again. David takes these old words and makes a new song and psalm out of them. Maybe there in the middle of the night, vexed about so much, the originality and the creativity just wasn't flowing for him. He just can't find the words to pray. That's no issue. God isn't looking for originality in praise, just a heartfelt focus. And words used before can be very helpful for us, can't they? That's why we pray the Lord's Prayer again and again. That's why we use psalms again and again. We sing songs again and again. We read Bible passages again and again. Using unoriginal but helpful expressions in praise and prayer is so helpful, especially when words of our own just won't come. Or when others have written such helpful reminders of who God is and what he's done that they express it so well for us. The other night, neither Ruth nor I could sleep very well, and in the early hours, we were both awake and both vexed about various things. Until Ruth said, "Alexa, play some praise music." And she did. And we lay there listening to good songs that began to reshape our hearts and minds, and a bit later on, get some sleep. Most, if not every, Sunday morning, before I preach, I return to the same prayer from this book. It's called A Minister's Preaching. It's great. It begins, "I'm desired to preach today, but go weak and needy to my task." I return to the same prayer to reshape and reset my heart and mind. A few weeks ago, I found a prayer based on a verse from Proverbs that I shared on the midweek video that speaks into anxiety. I know some people have been coming back again and again to that prayer. What do you do? What could help you in the middle of the night as a daily routine to help you reset your focus on praising God in the midst of facing up to the day's battles? What music to listen to or play? Singing and music are so helpful for the soul, aren't they? You go onto Facebook and follow Wally's Worship with Wally. It began worship through February, didn't it, Wally? Worship through February is now Worship through the Year with Wally. Lots of great songs on there with words about why they're so helpful for heart, mind, and soul. Or you could find a psalm or a prayer that someone else has written that you simply listen to or read slowly, gently, letting the words reset and remind you. I wonder if David, King David, had a mirror, might he have written these words of assurance spoken by God on a piece of paper and stuck them up there so he would read them every morning when he looked at himself. Truths expressed in praise and song, in prayers and scriptures that remind us of what we need to focus on and what we need to hear, the greatness of God, how Christ is powerfully and lovingly committed to us, that evil will not ultimately prevail, that Jesus is the risen Lord, that whatever temptations might approach us today, Satan doesn't have the power over us, cannot and will not pull us away from Christ, and that with Jesus we have the power to live for him. As the one who reigns and rules and has the victory, the Lord has the strength to give to me to face today. And so we see at the end of the psalm what effect it has for David, resetting his focus on praising God. First, it's taken his worries and questions way down the agenda. They're not verses 1 and 2, but verses 10 to 12. Now, they're still there. This hasn't made them vanish, and David still takes time to bring them in openness before God and lay them out in prayer. But now this is happening in a mindset that's God first, God saturated, God confident, God's word infused. There was a praise song we used to sing, I think praise song from the 80s or 90s. Haven't sung it recently, but had the line, "And in his presence, and in God's presence, our problems disappear." And I remember some people saying when we used to sing that, actually, that's not true, is it? Problems don't just disappear. And so we changed the words and we sang, "And in his presence, our problems hold less fear." What we see for David is that his worship and this truth has reshaped with less fear how he feels. So he lays out his concerns. "I've got this battle I'm facing, God. I'm struggling with the thought of it. It's an old and strong enemy I'm facing. Where's my strength and confidence in this battle? And God, you're feeling distant." Except that the rest of the song beforehand has made all the difference to this part. Because David is not saying in verse 11, "You aren't with us." He's saying, "Even though it seems like you're the one who's rejected us, I know it's you, isn't it, God? I know it is you who will lead me and guide me and strengthen me. I know things haven't been great. I've had all this on my mind. I know it's not going away. But actually, as a result of what I've been singing and reading, I know that ultimately you are for those you love. You will defeat your enemies. And I know that you will be with me." So no longer is he the lone and anxious warrior in the middle of the night. This warrior's morning song, full of praise and truth, has reshaped his feelings. He's now breathing in the confidence of being with God, in Christ, the true warrior king who wins the victory. So David ends the song, looking to the day ahead with heartened resolve. "With God we shall gain the victory," or as the ESV version puts it like this, "With God we shall go out valiantly. With God we can face the day, the battle, with courage and strength, and know that he will deal with what we cannot." So it's not a promise that the day will necessarily go well or how we'd optimistically love to see it go, though possibly it may go even better. But we don't know that on that day David won against Edom. But it is assurance that we may go well into the day with God. And whatever the battles of the day, we know ultimately God has all things under his power, at his feet. Jesus has the victory. So, my fellow warriors, battlers, as we face the battles of the day and the concerns of the early hours, may this warrior's morning song lead us into a greater confidence and hope in our great and faithful God and Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to take time to praise God, to be reminded of the truth of his faithfulness as we remain seated and sing "Faithful One." And then Heather is going to come and lead us in our prayers.
Let us all pray. From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation reveals your majesty. Heavenly Father, you are all-powerful, awesome Creator God, and we cannot fully comprehend the wonder of who you are. You are indescribable, but yet you long for us to be intimate with you. You created us and you love us. Thank you. We are sorry for mistreating your beautiful creation. Just this week, we are reminded of the issues of climate change. Lord, we pray for the people who have died and those suffering as a result of the floods and landslides in Japan, those in the Caribbean affected by Hurricane Elsa, and those struggling as a result of the intense heat wave and wildfires in Canada. Your world is groaning. Forgive us for our part in this. Help us to be better stewards of this earth and the resources you have so generously provided for us. Lord, you are amazing. You are an amazing God, all-powerful, and it's because of your power and your love for us that we can trust you totally. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Help us reflect your love and faithfulness to those around us. We only love because you first loved us. Father, we give you thanks for the love that has grown between Stephanie and Stuart, and we thank you for the wonderful wedding day they had on Thursday. But we pray that as they begin their married life together, they will focus their eyes on you, that you would be at the heart of their marriage, and together they will bring honour and glory to you. Pour much blessing into their lives, we pray. We also pray for Ruth and Glenn as they prepare for their marriage in the next couple of weeks, and we ask that you would bless them too, not only in their preparations for the big day, but also that you would prepare their hearts for life together. May their marriage honour you and be a blessing to others. Lord, we give you thanks for the other marriages that have happened in recent months in St. Field Road, and pray that you would bless each one of these special couples. We thank you that marriage is a wonderful picture of your covenantal loving relationship with us, your church. Lord, we thank you that as your church, you choose to involve us in your mission to bring your love to all peoples. We bring before you the preparations for Newton Briticism and the other Scripture Union camps and missions happening around the country. In this very different year, we pray that you will clearly guide the leadership teams as they seek to run these in a COVID-safe way. Draw especially close to Stephen and Amy and all the section leaders of Newton Briticism. May they know your guiding hand. We also bring before you the Exodus teams. We thank you that these young people and young adults are singing of you among the peoples, as we read in Psalm 108. We pray that as they share your good news in the week ahead with children and teens in another part of our city, you would do a mighty work in the lives of the people they meet. Prepare their hearts for what they will hear. May your word take root and your spirit move mightily in the Shankill area. May the teams bring much joy and encouragement to the Shankill Community Fellowship, and we pray that you would take away any nervousness or anxiety the team may be feeling. May they completely trust you, and may they be encouraged by knowing that you lift them up when they fall down. Surround them with your love and protect them against the schemes of the evil one, who will want to try to thwart this work. And Lord, we pray for the weather. This is to be an unsettled week ahead, but we know that all plans are for outdoors. So Father, we pray that you would provide dry weather for them so that the work can go ahead. We pray especially for Johnny and Jack as they lead these teams. Give them your wisdom. Father, we pray that this would be a mountaintop experience for our young people, that through this work they will grow in their faith and get to know you better. And Father, what we pray for these young people, we pray for ourselves. We ask that as the summer holidays begin, each of us would take the opportunity of some rest and relaxation to grow in our faith. Reveal yourself to us in deeper, more intimate ways. Help us make deliberate choices each day to sing your praises and to turn our hearts to you. May this summer be a refreshing time physically, mentally, and spiritually for us all, especially for the many children and young people who have found the past couple of academic years very difficult, the many that have struggled to cope with lockdowns and are now suffering with mental ill health. Father, may this summer be a time of fun, fresh air, and laughter, and may it provide the opportunity for release, to refocus, to gain balance and perspective, and may they seek and find you as their source of hope. And finally, Lord, we pray against the rising tide of COVID cases again. We pray against another surge, and pray especially for all medical staff who by now are completely exhausted. Give them energy and strength to do what they have to do. When they fall down physically and emotionally, will you lift them up? We thank you for the success of the vaccination program and pray that the vaccines would break the link between cases and hospitalization and deaths. Father, we pray for all those who have lost loved ones through COVID or not in recent times. May they feel your close presence, your strong arms surrounding them with your love and compassion. And Father, we pray for those who are struggling with ill health at present, either mentally or physically. Grant them sufficient grace and strength to get through each day. You created them and you love them, and they are precious to you. In this moment of silence, we bring before you people who we know who need our prayers. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Father, we cannot fully comprehend the depth of your love for us. We thank you that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks, Heather, for leading us in prayer. We're going to sing our closing hymn, a hymn that reminds us of God's great faithfulness and sends us out to live in the light of that faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Let's stand and sing together. may the blessing of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit be with us and remain upon us now and forevermore. Amen.
Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you.